Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
6:15. Sometimes it can be over-exaggerated or maybe some hyperbole, but this morning really is cotton candy skies and beautiful blue layers and gray, and it's something that could be on a canvas. A beautiful sunrise. Highs of 84 today. Warm and breezy. Nice for the second day of Jazz Fest. Zurich Classic. Then tomorrow, very windy. They're saying highs of 86. Going to keep those scores up. Maybe a little bit at the Zurich. Maybe not. Keep those flags flying at Jazz Fest. 84 for a high on Sunday. A little 20% chance for showers now has crept into the forecast. It's in the 70s right now, and we're talking to Dane Ciolino, professor of law at Loyola, about the Biden administration and some changes they're making to Title IX. Good morning, Dane. How are you?
Morning, Tommy. Just fine.
Tell me about what Title IX is for people that don't know in the first place.
Under Title IX, the Department of Education promulgates rules about how student sexual assault allegations are handled in tribunals on universities. There's been a lot of back and forth about this issue as administrations change. But having handled a number of these so-called trials, I can tell you it's these new regulations are frightening for students accused of sexual assault on college campuses. If somebody accuses another student of sexual assault, it's investigated by essentially a single investigator who then decides by a preponderance of the evidence whether or not this student has committed misconduct. And the trials that are held under these in these proceedings don't involve full cross-examination, don't involve very much discovery in advance of the trials. There's something to see, and these new regulations make it even more, I would say, not difficult, but almost impossible for students to adequately defend against charges of sexual assault on campus.
When most people hear about Title IX, they think athletics, don't they, or sports?
Yeah, they do. But one component of Title IX is how these gives the Department of Education the ability to make regulations to how these sexual assault trials, in quotes, are handled on campus. And the Biden administration passed new regulations that are very friendly to accusers and very hostile to the accused.
Let me go back to 1972 when all this came about. How did, for context, Dane, how did Title IX come about, and what was the reason for it?
Well, I'm not sure I know the full history behind it, but it was all about more gender equality on campuses, and that includes, as you've already mentioned, gender equality in sports and dealing with sexual assault accusations on campus.
So as it stands now, I guess, and we may as well go with not the way it was under Obama and then changed under Trump to how it is now, or maybe we can do that. That might be a better idea, to go back to how it was under Trump, the differences between, and I guess maybe take us through a hypothetical case of if a student is charged with some type of sexual assault, does it have to be physical assault? Does it have to be some type of harassment? How do we even define that, or what even gets to one of these, quote, trials?
Yeah, and those definitions have changed over time. But to give you the hypothetical you asked for, and this is really a case that I actually handled on the university for a man accused of assault, where a woman accused him of assault in a dorm. I'm not even going to say which university it was. And
A woman accused a man of assault?
Yeah, a woman accused a man of assault. She said that she was essentially drunk and had passed out, and he had non-consensual sex with her in a dorm uptown. And after a fairly brief and secretive investigation, they held a trial at the university center on campus. I represented the man accused of the assault, and the accuser didn't even come to the trial, didn't even testify by phone. She was telling her friend what happened, and her friend by the telephone relayed what she supposedly was saying about what happened. And there was no ability for me as the lawyer to participate, to cross-examine.
Generally speaking, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It would never, you'd never see anything like that in a criminal trial or even a civil or administrative trial in any other context. But in this context, almost anything goes. So there was virtually no cross-examination. He didn't even know at the time we went to the trial when all of this occurred, or allegedly occurred. And that eventually all came out during the trial, and it turned out ultimately that the charges were preposterous, but the committee went out and adjudicated him guilty of essentially rape. And then when more evidence came in on the sentencing phase, they realized that it was it just couldn't have happened the way that the accuser said that it happened. But this was the most astonishing thing to me. They didn't go back and say he didn't commit rape. They just said, well, we're just going to give you probation. So you find a guy guilty of rape and then you give him probation, which
after you realize further. And then you realize that there's no way it could have happened. That's what you're telling me?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So, you know, that story is, I hate to say, that's my personal experience in the most recent Title IX proceeding I've handled.
That was before this Biden change?
That was back under the Obama rules, and then the Trump rules gave more due process to the accused, gave more rights to cross-examine, gave additional notice rights and discovery. But all that's gone now under these Biden administration rules.
All right, let me pick it up here when we come back, Dane, because I want to talk about when you say trial, who exactly is conducting it, and what are the repercussions? Is it only as far as the university system goes? Are there any legal ramifications when it comes to the criminal justice system with this? We're talking to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. I know Dane Newell was talking to Harry Rosenberg the other day, apparently, and from what Dane's told us, this Title IX thing, a lot of people, I don't think there's an issue that gets more disproportionate attention than transgender athletes competing on women's teams, but a lot of people get stirred up about that. This has absolutely, as I understand it, nothing to do with that. This has nothing to do with that at all. This is all about defense of people that are accused of misconduct. Dane saying it's frightening to those that are accused of misconduct. We'll pick it up when we come back. 622 Traffic Now, WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dane Cialino about the Title IX changes that the Obama administration has made. This is all done by executive order, Dane. I'm trying to figure out the legalities of all of this.
It is. That's the way Department of the Department of Education promulgates these rules, and it goes through the administrative rulemaking process. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, it's something that can change with administrations. Unlike statutory legislation, which takes an act of literally an act of Congress and presentment and signing by the president, these rules can be changed by the executive branch alone.
So what does this have to do with the judicial system? This is just about the way universities investigate this stuff, or does this have any bearing on criminal cases, Dane?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that people say makes this less concerning, the lack of due process less concerning, because it only deals with a student's status at the university. But, you know, you tell a 19-year-old kid that he's being expelled from college, that's pretty dramatic. I know it's not a criminal conviction. It's not civil liability. But these proceedings can and do result in suspension, expulsion, sometimes deportation if you're a student, a foreign student. So they have significant personal consequences for the accused individuals that shouldn't be diminished. And by diminishing that, they also, I think it's kind of ironic, they diminish the importance of what's going on. Of what these allegations are. These are very serious allegations. I mean, rape, sexual assault, and by making these proceedings kind of less rigorous, I think it has the effect of diminishing the students' allegations. Now, in many of these cases, the authorities, law enforcement authorities, have investigated and have found no probable cause to arrest, have found no insufficient evidence to indict or to file a bill of information, formal charges against the accused. And then it's just left up to the administration at the university to conduct one of these so-called trials. And that's the thing that's disturbing. Like, for example, in my case, NOPD investigated the allegations and found insufficient evidence to even arrest the student. But despite that, the university went forward with a Title IX proceeding and wound up after finding him guilty of rape and then learning more evidence after that, imposing essentially a wrist slap for what is a finding of rape, which is wrong.
Which makes no sense. Anyway, you look at that, it makes no sense. It's like, well, if it's rape, then he deserves to be punished. If it's not, then slapping him on the wrist makes no sense at all. That's crazy.
Exactly.
And the federal government is involved in this because universities accept federal money, Dane?
That's it. That's where the federal exercise of power comes through, essentially the spending clause.
And does this have any bearing at all? Does this follow anybody to criminal court, or does criminal court usually precede this, and this is just ancillary and it's just kind of like nonsensical?
Well, exactly, because if there is probable cause to believe that a sexual assault or a rape has occurred, then typically the individual is going to be arrested and he's going to be in the criminal justice process with all the attendant due process rights, the right to counsel, the right to cross-examine, the right to subpoena witnesses, everything that we see and traditionally expect when we see allegations of serious allegations of rape or sexual assault.
And I would guess if you're convicted of rape, then a university can toss you out?
Absolutely.
In a criminal court, I'm saying.
That's right. That's what's so troubling about these proceedings. They're often prosecuted when law enforcement has found not even probable cause to believe that an offense has occurred.
Thank you, Dane. I appreciate the insight. You always explained it in a way we can understand. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. When we come back, we'll talk about funding for early education being cut. Right now, time for WWL First News.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.